one of the things that the Lord having me do over there is that last Sunday I brought the word, man, and I shared that testimony of that paper that I read about that little boy that went out passing tracks. But it was one thing after another. It wasn't a traditional sermon, but it was like man, it was just like, wow, man, God, the Holy Spirit was in there, crazy. And rather than there was okay, this is mine.
I choose it. Rather
than I never grab yours.
And so anyway, I started off that I met a lady downtown at Starbucks. Oh, downtown over there. And she was. I opened the door for her because she had three little beautiful kids. You know, and it didn't matter if she had one or none.
Yeah.
But she says, Sam, I said, yeah. Really? I do with the dreams, yeah. And she says, all this other stuff, right? And then I said, well, what church you go to? She said, well, I go to Gateway. Really? I said, get out of here. And so I ain't seen you or everybody looks alike, or I don't know.
Didn't say that.
Now, anyway, that was
it's hard enough.
And then so Sunday, she shared a testimony with me that when she had left Gateway, she had two little girls, went up to somewhere up north, ended up homeless with the three girls, and she stayed in the shelter. And so she was sharing me with me. That, you know, a lot of people would come and they would give them food and this, you know, the shelter and that stuff. But the one thing they never did, give them the word.
Wow.
And so and I said, well, that's
definitely homeless, Joe.
Yeah, and I said, well, that's the issue, you know. We want to do the good thing, but we don't want to do the most important thing is that's the gospel. So anyway, Gateway got all these little kids over there. They're sometimes on the side the way the church is set up. And they're out there with the little flags and all that. And I said, look, man, y'all don't put baby in the corner, man. They need to bring the little kids out here.
Right.
So, man, I didn't know we had that many kids. And all the little kids came and got their little flags and stuff. And I got, I got a picture of it. And they came and they were, you know, doing the worship and then going up down the aisle. Boy, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just flew in that man, and people were praying and over the kids, and it was just so good because it opened up for one thing after another, and then what we did. Shared about that story about the little boy that with the tracks that went out, you know, and I mean that brought tears to people's own eyes and stuff. And then we talked about evangelism and whatnot, but you know the thing I was from John 11, the Lazarus, you know, and all the different things that the Lord gave me from Lazarus, the fact that you know Jesus, he took his time for a reason. And sometimes, you know, we're going through stuff in our lives, and, you know, can God do something like that? Yeah. But sometimes he allows it for a reason. And so, but when he went there and he saw Mary and Martha, they were, you know, crying, if you had only been here. But he said, it's only for, he will be resurrected. But she said that they'll be resurrected. She said, I am the resurrection.
And the life.
And the life. And then, she said, well, where is he? Let's go over there. But he cried, you know. It was twice in the Bible that he got cried.
Why did he cry?
Huh?
Why did he cry?
Compassion, love.
That's one reason, but the main reason, he saw their unbelief and their grief.
Well, wasn't that when they were at over Bethlehem?
Bethlehem, when they raised Lazarus.
There were two of them. that one, and then
sidebar.
You know. So anyway.
I mean, what? What?
So the children were touched. And then I went to John, but, you know, and I was trying to tell the people, I said that people don't want to get into evangelism. Well, they don't, you know, they love God and all that, but, you know, like Jesus told them, well, where is he? I said, well, he's in the tomb, so went over there. So, you know, there was a boulder over the tomb or whatever, and he says, well, you got to move that boulder. He said, man, but he's been there 4 days. He stinks. He stinks. There's a couple of people. Where's my
wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's not your personal.
Okay.
He wasn't the only dead one in there.
Yeah. And,
that's why he had to say Lazarus. He just said, come to us. It all came out.
Yeah, and that's a good story. But then the next day was that he told them to move it. See, and you know what came into mind? I remember that book, Experiencing God. Y'all remember that? It's an old book, Experiencing God. You know, if you want to be in God's perfect will, you see people doing the work and you get involved, now you're in His will.
Oh.
And but see, God invited them to be a part of the miracle. They had to move the boulder out of their way. And so He invited them to do it, you know? Yeah, Lazarus too. Yeah, and Lazarus too. And so he told them to move it. And so he told Lazarus to come out. He came out. But he said, but he was still wrapped in grave clothes. And I was telling the people over there, I said, look, man, many of us have accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. Maybe many of us, you know, we're saved, but the problem is we're still wrapped in those tomb clothes.
Right.
We're wrapped up with all the hurts and hang-ups and right. problems and issues yeah. and addictions or whatever. we have that. Mm-hmm. But he was still wrapped up. But then when it got to Jesus tell him, unwrap him. Again.
Man.
Unwrap him. He didn't do it. See, that's our job. He's given us a responsibility to share the gospel, to unwrap those bondages for people to share the gospel, to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is what my biggest beef that I be preaching all the time is that we have to be about our Father's business.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sit there, come to church, look all pretty and all that, and then, yeah, ooh, hallelujah, go home and don't do nothing. We got to be about our Father's business.
So I ain't the preacher's job.
It's not right. Definitely not the preacher's job. Preacher's job is to get your
what
butt out
the
there. The deacons, what's that?
Maybe
the rest of you too.
And so,
walking back.
But anyway, that's
very true.
So right. with all that in mind, you know, I had a meeting with Pastor this weekend, and I guess that's where I'm at, man. You know, we're having a meeting. So I talked to the congregation. I told the congregation, look, here's the problem. That we're so busy with our own issues and our own problems in life and our own, taking care of our own homes that we left the temple all by itself. Now we need to come over here and let's clean this place up. Go around. People are watching you. You know, people look at you, they look at your house, they look at, you know, everything, and they judge by the outward appearance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just clean the place up. And so I called the whole day, a whole church cleanup. See who shows up. We're gonna grill, we're gonna cook and all that. Because it's about community. You know, all of us gotta be a part of it. If you're in the church, get your hands in it, man. Get your hands in the plow. Let's be a part of what God is doing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And
so, what to do, ask God what to do. He'll tell you.
I'm telling you. So we're going to do that. But, you know,
what's in your hand?
And you know, that's why I was going to talk to you about it. Because, you know, the problem is that they don't have people that a lot of men in there. There are electricians and stuff. But, you know, they can't all the time. See, I mean, they got, the girls were going, what's the girls? Where you go, girl? Where you all going? Oh, we go to the bathroom. I said, well, there's a bathroom right here. But the lights don't work in there. I said, what's that? I told Joe, what's up? And then, you know, there's things that need to be done because people come to the church and they look at the place and the thing is, you know, a certain thing, you know, says they go somewhere else. So you gotta, you know, we gotta be a part of our Father.
Neglecting the physical, you gotta work on.
Yeah, we gotta be a part of our Father's business. So anyway, we're gonna do the first Saturday, they usually have a men thing. I said, no, man, we're gonna go out there and clean, invite it to church. We told, I think she put a thing on Facebook, not Facebook, email to the church members. All men come out and strong women too.
Go, girl.
You know, because I
you know
the issue. You know, we need to be a part of our, come together as a community and relations. You know, and that's how you build community, working together and having fun and stuff like that. You know, so anyway, that's
grandma.
I'm off that one.
We have a Bible study on Wednesday night. Let's go back and cook the floor for you. Folks' humor. because what is the purpose? Communication really is the purpose in marriage, because communication often suffers. Because did you ever say something and you wish you never said it? I do it all the time, you know. And obvious. But learning to work through that, you know, that we're not each other's enemy, but we're commanded to be one. Now, how do you be one? I mean, I used to like my wife. Really did. But she's changed. And you know what the testimony was to all the older couples? One of the older couples go, I never planned on getting old. And I don't know exactly what to do, because now I have to take care of my husband. Because he's forgetting himself. And so change is actually the constant. What stays the same? So you need to accept the change in whatever situation you're in, because, hey, guess what? I shared this testimony about, listen, I have never committed adultery physically, but I have in my mind, okay? And I tell you what, I says, you know what has kept me from adultery is the Word of God. Because I knew that the Spirit of God would not, you can't justify it no matter what. Can't. No matter how bad it is at home, no matter how good or bad, you know, it's just, there's something. And so it was an interesting perspective to hear around the table where people want a oneness. But where do you see in the marriages today, and that's the strength of the country, is marriages and family. So no power in the family and marriages, the country is sharp.
Amen.
And that's what's
model.
Happened.
It's God's model for a young woman. I told my wife just that, so if you ever leave me, I'll go with you.
Did she hand you back the Bible?
I like that.
I got you a friend, but she said,
we know that.
Randy started back, I believe, back in the 50s.
Yeah. Women were
50s?
Yeah. You know, started happening.
You were around in the 50s.
I was born in the 50s.
I've
read
about
it. Anyways, the devil started making it where two people had to work. So that pulled the wife out of the home, childbearing, kids raised up by whatever. And the oneness is supposed between a husband and wife, they're gone from each other for 8 hours. They got a few hours at night, put the kids down, you know, get everything. And it's just taken away from the intimacy they should have, that should reflect the intimacy that they have with their God. And I believe that's been the trick of the enemy since, like, the 50s. You know? And it's only gotten worse since then. I mean, I don't know what the statistics were, but maybe 1 out of 5 women worked back in the 50s, and maybe not even that. I don't know. Now it's probably 99 out of 100.
They go to war, so they put all the women in the bed and give it to her.
Well,
there was no men, so they had to bring them out during the war. Right? Is that right?
Well, that,
I don't know. Right?
Yeah, that gave them the mindset to work, you know what I mean? But
there was a need, and they had to go to war. But then afterwards, they liked that extra money.
Yeah, but you know, you see a woman, she will rise to the occasion. Husband will leave, she'll rise to the occasion, generally speaking, do whatever it takes. I mean, one of the ladies that was with me for 5 years, Thelma, she was a master welder during World War II. She out-welded everybody. And she was this little peanut of a lady from Carolinas. But women have that tendency to rise to the occasion of whatever man would let slip out.
I would like, because I've been single 39 years, Can you believe that?
You're blessed.
Wow. See? Now that makes you say, F, now you know I'm pretty raw. I'm on the screen. So, like you're saying, oh, the women don't do this and women do that. And somebody said, we've been married 40 years. Now, what I'm trying to get to is I would like to hear something that, I mean, I appreciate, I know your name is Elsie, and I don't know why I can't say it. Because, and I also appreciate that guy doesn't get in there. And the reason I'm saying this, like, if you don't tell me about you love your wife, then why would I want to love you? And my original thing way back before got off on that, and I would really like to hear somebody say something, I mean, go around the testimony of something good. If he just got married, and I'm thinking, you know, but here's where I really said, this morning, you know, I thought, no, well, I want to go, I don't want to go, it's a long ride, I'm not supposed to be private, but I do, la la la, I'm a criminal, they're looking for me, okay. And I'm laying there and I go, did I really love my first wife? I said, no, because I was obedient. I got married because I was obedient. And I thought, did I love that person? Did I love this person? Because the only love I have that I really, he goes and pees on my pillow, not my boyfriend, by the way, and on this and that, I go, okay, dude. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, that wasn't nice. I said, okay, what did it, but I love that dog. Probably the only thing, now I've had 60 different relationships, I'm almost his age, and on and on, I'm not a naive dude. But why I want to hear that, because unless I see it, I'm not going to want it. See it? And the guy that's on command, you know, I've gone to Bible college, and he knows all this stuff, and this, and I've read my this, and I've been like that, and gone down here, and been a missionary. And all of a sudden I go, God, I'm kind of bored. And he said, well, just look. I said, I just went to Goodwill yesterday. I didn't go to that church. I didn't preach. I didn't do the same thing. I don't know why you went that way. But anyway, where am I at is to say, what good am I? I'm really looking forward to death. Not that I'm not commit suicide. But, you know, I'm doing the most. That's why I said, I'm finally got inspiration. What the heck? Just grab that Volkswagen engine. I yanked it right on out of there. And I tore it down. I had to lift it up and move it. You know the Volkswagen? So I had something to do. But I was at Goodwill, and I looked down there, looked at this, and in Calvary Chapel had their split. And I said, where's George? He's a security guard. Now, this is my life. After being a missionary, this is the stuff that this is 47 years up in the homeless. So, what good am I? So then I look back. Here's George, who is just like this guy there. Puzzle. This one. And I'm telling you, it's frustrating as a mature Christian. I've been helping Sam 20-something years. We've painted houses and done that, and drugged this and done that. I don't know. It's easy for me just to stay alone with the Lord as a single guy.
Do you know the difference between...
I'm going to tell you about this guy in just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will go for a tell.
I thought you wanted...
I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and we don't even say hello to us in 20 minutes. So I got home, and I said, hey, you know what? And I'm like, well, what is it? You know, I got a lady, she says, well, I love you. I'm like, I don't want to get that close. And so, in the Lord says, well, if you hadn't talked to him, he's going to get reconnected after 4 years to Calvary, to Danny, to all that kind of stuff. But without the who did what, who shot when, who's on what side, you know, we got to keep Dannyites and the non-Dannyites. I'm tired of it. You know, because God asked me to love. And I love you. And I love you. And I said, I'm not scared of it. But because you went to Mahoney's, and I got to meet you outside of, and so here's that. So that's what he's trying to show to me. He says, do you really love?
Sammy, testimony.
Invite him to your church.
What's going on?
He said you were
looking for one.
Sammy, what's going on?
Just looking.
Well, things are good. Things are good?
Yeah. I don't know what church you go to.
But you know, when you look at, excuse me, I'm talking.
I'm you.
You know, when you look at marriage, I'm married 40 years.
Lovely wife.
And, you know, usually when we first get married, it starts out with lust and this and that, whatever, she looked good, blah, 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 blah. And after a while, the relationship that, you know, that you had, that you know, it changes throughout through time, you know, and the relationship I have with my wife now is different in a sense when I first met her, but we love each other, you know, and she's there for me, I'm there for her, and we're friends, and we take care of each other, you know, and you know, she's sick, I try to help her, but see, the love is still there, but it's in a different context, which is more a deeper love than just a superficial love. And with marriage, you know, I look at Sam, and throughout the years of all the stuff that he had with his wife, that he was married with her, and he took care of her, he bathed her, he loved her, he cared for her, and he was there, you know. See, that's love, man. And see, when we have love, that type of love, then it's not about self, it's about, you know, an expression of love to others. Yes, sir.
That brings me back to the point I was trying to make when I was interrupting you, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but do you know the difference between a decision and a commitment?
Oh boy, here you go. Hit it. It's going to get ready to go out of the park.
Now, I'm 6 years deaf, Mom. Is that a commitment?
No, yes. That was forced. You didn't have a choice.
No, I came out.
You were still forced because of Vietnam. If Vietnam had not been there,
right,
you wouldn't have
won. Break them off. No.
I live in
the
Marine Corps.
He asked me a question
about
commitment. I gave him an example. Yeah. I went in when everybody else was coming out.
I went in too.
You just stop? Really? I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it because I'm looking for God, which I asked Jesus in my heart 47 years ago, probably in the middle of school. And I'm looking for love, right? Andre loves me, I can tell you. So it's fine. Yes, but see, the teaching part, you know, Sam knows my background. The teaching part, my head is full. Oh, I'm good. But my heart now, is saying, well, you know, do I love those guys? Do I love those guys? When he forgives me, it endears me to him. And when you put up with whatever, and I've come a long way, I hope, from this.
Yeah.
I'm here because I used to be in agonizing pain. And I would say, God, I can't change. But I knew I needed to be here. That's a commitment, right? And Elsie would hear me, and he said, well, let's pray for Phil. Now, I don't have back problems anymore. I almost lost my leg last week, but other than that, I'm fine.
Glad you found it.
No, I mean, the car seat, my Wrangler, and it fell and went right down, and I let it go too long. It was a month, and it got, and they had to take the surgeon down and go through the bone, and blah, blah, blah. Now, I had to go through all that by myself. Okay. So I'm saying, but it's okay, because that's what I've always done all my life. So what am I saying here? Should I compromise? I'm looking for love. But see, love is not companionship. Love is faithfulness. And I met a person that she'd wanted for 11 years and this and that. And she wants to do this, she wants to do that. I said, but I don't love her. And also God has to put it on my heart. You get me good? I got enough teaching though to build a damn film library part. But what don't I have? I won't have because I don't believe in remarriage. I don't have the sacrifice that you guys would have. And I don't think I want it.
Why do you think the divorce rate is so high today?
The divorce rate is because we're greedy and selfish. And we don't communicate.
It goes back to that point I was trying to make. People make a decision, okay, you and I are going to get married, you know what I mean? And that's a decision. Well, a week or a month or a year from now, they decide they don't want to be married.
I made my vows unto God.
But when you commit to something, when you commit to the Lord, when you commit to a marriage, there is no back door. You are going to work it out, whatever it is. When you had tackled that Volkswagen, it was sitting in your yard. It was yours. You made a decision to buy it. But you committed to it when you laid your hands on it, started working on it, and got that engine out of there. That's the difference between a decision and a commitment.
I think the real issue is, till death do us part. See, I've given thousands of days to Dad, and I get up, and if you remember that 3 o'clock, we go down, we can physically do stuff. And that's what I learned. I never went to Vietnam, I was a kid a little bit. But where am I going is that, there's, all of a sudden I hit a wall, you know, now I can pick up 400 pounds, I can do that, I can do that. But now God's got me in a place like, I got to totally trust Him, or I'll be everywhere I didn't ever want to be.
You know, in John, before Jesus was talking about that he was getting ready to go through this ordeal, and Peter said, "I'll be there. I'll right. never leave you. Yeah, I'll never forsake you."
In Himself.
That's what he was saying.
Right.
But see, the minute that things got tough, then he left. The commitment wasn't there. It wasn't there. Even when he went over there, he made a decision, I love you and all that stuff, but when things get rough, I'm not there, you know? Only when the Holy Spirit came in after Jesus was resurrected, and Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you."
Right.
"Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." You know, he kept erasing that commitment. See, you know, we could talk the talk, but not walk the walk. See, the whole thing is about love. Love and commitment. If we don't love others, you know.
Should you die?
Yes, you should die. You should die to self.
And then
it's not about you. Hold on a second.
Well, this is you know where I've been.
Well, I know. Forget all that. You know where I've been, but forget about all that. Forget. We gotta forget. We should put these things behind us. We put those things behind us because what we have, we need is love. And the love that God has is that type of love, where the love that I'm gonna give my life to Him. But no, we have a superficial love. Because as soon as it gets rough, then we leave, we go do the other thing. No, I don't want to get up in the morning and go feed the homeless. No, I don't want to do this. Or I did this or I did that and these guys were jerks and they screwed. And but you, no, hold on a second.
Well, I'm on a roll. People that will destroy themselves?
No.
Are there people that are committed and are faithful?
If they're faithful and they're committed, why aren't they doing what they're supposed to be doing?
They are doing it, but sometimes
you have to have wisdom
to say, "Hey, you need to pull back."
And when you do, that God gives you wisdom. Then you do pull back, and then for that season, and then God gets for rest. What did Jesus do? Jesus, man, what's wrong with you guys? Man, I got to get out of here for a minute. He went up in the mountain. He got to be over there with Dad so he could get filled. I got to get away from these guys. It's crazy.
Well, this is the best 12 you can give me?
My goodness. He says, but then...
Still in the trumpet.
No, hey, listen. So, okay, so the thing is that commitment level, I don't care what happened in the past. We got to quit living in the past and go forward because, man, time is at end. You know, Jesus is coming. We got to focus our attention. Forget about what we did. Forget about what I did in the past. That's in the past. What are you doing now? What are we doing now? If we get involved in ministry and we're in a place where a bunch of dysfunctional degenerates that are there, our job is not to be like them. Our job is to be the example of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, because they need an example. They don't need a friend.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, they don't need a friend. They need an example.
Right.
They need that person. They want to buy a cigarette, or you buy them. No, you don't do that. You be the man of God. You be the Jesus, because Jesus was with them, but he wasn't like them. They're supposed to be like him, not us like them. And so when we get involved with all these other folks, and then we start remembering those things, and our vocabulary starts going that way, you know, it rolls for what we used to do, how we minister the gospel to other people. We got to quit that. We're not like them. God, we created, We accepted Christ and we're a new person, a new creature in Christ. And we have to elevate that. Forget, because you know what? What you did back then, that's back then. It'll be jack, but what are you doing now for the kingdom of God? That's all done. What are we doing now for the kingdom? What are we doing for him? No, all we can do is sit around and complain and not do a damn thing. Excuse me if I say it that way. Oh, these people, you know what?
I'm glad that you all are being an example and say we do need to get back to it, instead of this divisions and this and that, and I appreciate, and that's why I'm here, is to say, no, I know he loves, I know you love your wife, I know you love your wife, I know you love your wife, and all that, but you know, I'm coming in and off the field, if you want to say it like that, and say, hey, it's refreshing that you know, whatever you're doing with your wife, you know, you went to the watermelon thing last couple of years ago.
I have.
And that's encouraging to me.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But have you ever asked the Lord to give you the very best he has? And you said, and I'll wait until tomorrow morning at 8:00 to get it. Yes, sometimes the best takes a while. Yeah. It took me 16 yards. I don't think so.
I'm 70.
I'm 70.
Cool deal, man. Let's go blow up some.
Thank you for the compliment. You just put yourself down and made me better.
That's the thing is that here's the deal, man. Forget about yesterday. Right. What are you gonna do today for the kingdom? What are you gonna do for the glory of God today? That's, you know what, I've been going to my pity party. I'm going to my, go ahead and tell them about you, I'm talking about me. I'm going to my pity party and my issues and my problems. But you know what? I got these brothers here that jack me up periodically and let me know. And you know what? Sometimes I don't like him. Sometimes I don't like Elsie.
Right.
You know, he's a pain in my butt.
But you know what?
But he's my brother in Christ. And he encourages me, lifts us up. But see, if we are the Lone Rangers, God didn't create us to be the Lone Rangers. He created us to be a community. He created us to be a fellowshipping in a body. There is no such thing as the Lone Ranger out there. And as long as we keep ourselves isolated from the rest of the body of Christ, then we are just poop. You know, the excrements. And God is calling us to a greater height, especially in these days, man.
Like Andre said, when the need had to be fulfilled during the war, the ladies had to rise up. It was hot, it was heavy, it was not nice. And whatever the circumstances were that were allowed during the war, they had to rise up. And it changed the attitude, I believe, is what Elsie was saying earlier. It changed the attitude of the women. La 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 la. So, I'm doing excellent. I'm honestly doing excellent. My sister has a church, I go to her thing and all that stuff. But the true fellowship is when I can say, you. And they say, well, whoa, what's wrong with Phil? Or whatever, I'm just doing all this, I'm just making this up. And the real thing is, the real love is, they screwed you over, but do you still forgive them? See, I had a guy, I was the guy, I said, that's it, last man standing. Okay, so convict, last man standing. You're gonna call me a name, then I don't care, I'm on my way out. Now that ain't Christ-like, but I don't have nothing else. So I have to come here, and say, when am I going to get some? I need to get refilled. I got to go to church and act in doctrine tongues.
I have a real good friend of mine.
Yes.
Real good friend of mine.
Real.
You know how many times I kicked him out of my house?
Sorry.
I have a real good friend of mine.
Yes.
You know how many times I kicked him out of my house? You know how many times I kicked him out of the church?
Right.
But guess what? He keeps coming back. You know why? Because I love him.
Right.
I love him.
Right.
And I love him so much that I'm not going to put up with his BS
right.
and disrespect like stuff like that.
Right.
That's being disrespectful.
Right. Yes, it is.
And I'm not going to put up with that kind of
right.
stuff because I love you.
And you're better.
You are better. You are better than what you're showing. Mm-hmm. You know, but you've been out there too daggone long. God's calling you back into the service, back into the ministry, because you have very much to give. But as long as you're out there, as a Lone Ranger instead of being in the body. You could go to church. Well, listen, you could go to church, go through church. You could go to a service.
I'm honest because you're my brothers. This is my family. Okay, I came back in off the war. Come on. I'm saying, hey, brother, thank you for the, you know, you don't make friends. I thought, well, you know, I thought I was being a friend. I thought I was loving him. I maybe was deceived on that, whatever. I was going too far the wrong way. But the other thing, is I would try to, and this is what everybody is saying here, the church is inadequate. I said, I should have my own thing. I should be preaching my own thing. I should be doing that. But you can't just walk out there and do it. God's got to anoint you. God's got to send you to do it. I said, I can go anywhere and there's a street there. And I go, hey, well, whatever. I said, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it takes a spark.
And so that's why I'm back. I said, well, you better get your ass over here. I was going to go to Praise Cathedral, and Terry McKinnon died, and it just ripped me. Yeah. It just ripped me. I said, what the heck?
It takes a spark.
It's taken me that long to get back on my feet that Terry McKinnon died.
It takes a spark
to
start a forest fire.
Right.
That even in a dead church can come alive with a spark of individual than there. But you know what? The way you're gonna get full is not by isolation. The way you're gonna get full is not by people, places, and things that you that we. Sometimes, you know, how many times all of a sudden we. I'm an alcoholic, but I went through the 12 steps and I'm not drinking and all that. And then they go to the bar. I'm gonna go minister to the guys in the bar. And dude, you ain't even ready yet. Come on, we know that. Oh, it sounds good, man. But you know, I ain't going. We go in there and be soon. We try to. We're starting to assimilate like those other jokers over there.
Yeah.
This, and they think they're gonna fix the whole world.
Right.
Over a beer, and they ain't done nothing, and they go home to a broken home.
Right.
They go home because there's nobody cares. There's that guy of people that today, man, people are shooting themselves because they have no hope. And you have said that you have thought about doing something like that some time ago.
Yes.
But you know what? You got too much to give to the kingdom of God. But you know what? We got to get ourselves straight. We got to say, get rid of our stinking thinking, the Spirit of God back inside of us, man.
I tell you what I'm seeking. God's real. Jesus Christ is Lord, so I'm not the devil. Okay. Talking tongues. Could you put that? I wanted something real. You know? I said, well, I can put on my happy face, I can put my suit back on, I can put my fortune shoes on. I can be real. You're real, Sam. Else you're real. I mean, sometimes they'll cry, you probably wrestle in the parking lot out there. Oh, no. Pride. So, I said, well, if it's 5:30, I'm gone. Bang. It's 5:30. Then I ran, and then I'm running, like, yes, I'm not going to be there. And so all the issues about, just don't want to get in this, don't get up there, and this and that. Are you following what I'm saying? All the enemy now is winning. And why? Because people are human. See, this is it. You can smirk all you want, but it's coming down the road. And I can say, maybe I'm a point man. You know what a point man is? You know, I was fair weather. We didn't care what it was. We dropped them behind me. I never went. They diverted me off. But you know, it's like, hey, you know, well, what am I saying? There's some people out there that need more protection and more of this and more of that. And thank you for kicking butt. You know, saying, hey, you know, yeah, that's bullshit. You don't say stuff like that.
You think Paul was, when they chopped his head off, he said the devil won?
That's not even an issue.
Oh, it is.
No, it's not an issue. It's not an issue because you
even
know if it's
unto death, I'll feel the. That's a hard, hard place to go.
Anyway, so thank you. Thank you, my brothers. You are family. I have to do what I have to do. Twice I've had to just drive myself in total delirium to the V. I go, who would I call? And I forget about it. I go, where's my numbers changed every 5 minutes or whatever. Well, I could go down to Elsie, but I don't know if I'm welcome. Elsie, you know Elsie. It's like, hey, you know what? Because Elsie has lived it. Because I read the tires, I don't have it. Right? Has Elsie helped you with you? I don't have it. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to.
Let's put hands on you and say, Lord, give him what he's lacking.
Yeah, and like you said, sometimes it takes a while.
And sometimes it happens for not
come on.
A heartbeat. That was great. Give me your hand, brother.
I'd rather not. I'm not rather not. You don't know what's inside.
I know what's inside you, and it's got to come out.
I'd rather just those two quick.
I'm going to put my hand like this, and it's going to come by telephone.
Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus right now, Father. I pray, Lord Father, that my brother, Father, he loves you. I know he loves you, Lord Father. There's so many things that are going on in his life, that past and the present, Lord Father. And we bind those spirits that are confusion, those spirits that torment him, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, you help this man. This man is one of your warriors, Lord Father. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father, that any defilement of flesh in him which be gone, any guilt or condemnation be gone in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. I pray, Lord, that you fill him with your anointing, with your power, Father. Father, that you bring him back into the fold as he was, Father, because he has a heart to give and a heart to serve, Lord Father. Father, so I just pray that you put a hedge of protection around him. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him right now. That you would just fill him with joy and happiness, Lord Father. And forgetting those things that are behind us and looking forward to what is ahead for his glory. For your glory, Lord Father. The things that we do, the people that we minister to, the people that we love. Father, that's what you've given us, Father. You gave us a vision that you love, that you even died on the cross, that we have a life because of that. And so, Father, forget these things that hold us back. Forget these things that bind us, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, we just thank the Lord that you bring him back to his first love, Lord.
Yes.
When he was first saved, Lord, give him that excitement, give him that fervor again, Lord God. We just ask you to rekindle the fire inside of Phil, Lord, that it burns bright for you, Father. And he has a heart to serve you and to minister to your creation, Lord God. You know, we can be moved by you, and just ask you to use it. He wants to be used, Lord. So we just ask it all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And we will. Well, if I can say this now that I've been delivered, because you know the ground stuff. I mean, literally appreciate you guys because and I appreciate you too. I have a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys because how many people would stop and pray? And the place I've been isn't the haven that put me down. It put me out of the power of God. It's Calvary Chapel. They don't like tongues. They don't like the power. I have not at anywhere that they don't. The heaven doesn't even allow you if you're anywhere excited to be in it. So thank you for being who you are all these years, 30-something years and stuff. Who you are. Amen. You've got a teaching. He's got this. I am ministering to people and doing all that kind of stuff. I'm not like going to hell. Second.
I was brought up in a Pentecostal church, and we knew that everybody was going to hell except us.
Okay.
We knew it.
That's fun.
We knew it. And when my wife died, the first wife
see you,
died,
Buzz. Hey, Buzz Lightfoot.
I said, I want to be in church because I haven't been a church in 30 days. He said, you want to be in church? You are in church.
Wow.
I can see you.
And I said, okay, I go to the most rabid Pentecostal church on the earth. I said, send me where you want me to go.
Right.
And I thought, how will that work? And the Holy Spirit said, you stay on your couch this Sunday, get dressed, ready to go, and I'm going to have to send two people knock on your door. I said, this is wild. So I did it. At 9 o'clock, somebody knocked on the door.
Really?
I opened the door and said, we don't know if you're a Christian or not. That's pretty sad when you're a Christian. They don't know it.
Uh-oh.
And they said, we like to know if you like to go to church. I spoke to them. I said, yeah, where are we going? He said, we're United Methodists. I said, praise God for United Methodists. And when I went out to get my car, I told him the story. I said, that's awesome.
Solid as a rock.
I said, you know, you can prove God if you listen to the Holy Ghost.
to give you ways that you are not many ways.
I've lost the internet.
And that was when my real journey with the Lord began. When my wife died, I went to some tremendous things, saw angels on my back porch. And it was powerful, but that was the day that I became the Jesus to the way. And I love what my son said, son by a second wife. He went into one of these places where you see them, addiction. I got, you had the addiction, they were sitting
there. You give me a
dollar? Talking about all these treatments. He said, excuse me, gentlemen. Why are we supposed to be new creations in Christ? These addictions are gone. And they would not receive it. He said, yeah, you still got it? But you say, Lord, I'm putting it in your arms. It's not mine anymore. And some people, they don't have that. Oops.
When you ask the question, what is love? I realize it's biblically associated with the word. First Corinthians 13 is very specific.
All righty.
It's very cutting. Absolutely. To the flesh. I mean, when you read it, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous. Love does not brag. Doesn't act unbecomingly and does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take it to account of harm. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. That's a good sieve to go through whenever you have a question.
That's the core. If you don't have that, you don't have the...
And then at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about your life and all that stuff. Otherwise, you're a ding-dong.
You know, the question... You answered a question when we started. And my question is, why are we here? And, we talked about we could have a nice little Bible study or something of that nature. That's good for some people. But we're not some people. We're peculiar people. And because we're peculiar people. Yeah, right here. Yes, yeah, really. Is that the dynamics of this ministry has been...
I'll have to come back. My hands are full.
It's been from the 20 years ago since we started this. It was about openness. That was because you could go have a Bible study all day long, but you don't have to have a place, a safe place that you could, that you're not from your church or different, you know. That you can share the gospel yourself. Well, hey, I'm going to. You know, many people throughout the years have come to our group that were going to commit suicide that day, but they did because of what we were discussing, and that's what it's about. You know, if people want a structured Bible study, let them go. I sometimes want that myself, but you know what? We can always get into the Word and do something. But the reality is that this table, people like him are accepted. Oh, he even kicked out too. But so that we could be real. I want to be real. I don't want to sit there and look at the phonies. Yeah, I want to be real. That's what God calls to be real.
And I like what David said when he was at the court. He said, as men talk about stoning him because everything was taken away. And this is one of the most powerful things in Scripture. So David encouraged himself. And nobody else was there.
No.
When you have someone who can't, he's got to have flesh and blood. He needs to get an experience with it. I don't care if you're speaking, I speak in tons of angels and men. It doesn't matter. You need to get
encouraged.
That's what David. We're talking about David at Ziklag.
You got to encourage yourself sometimes, like David did at Ziklag.
Yeah.
Because until you do that, if I depend on somebody else, sooner or later, you're going to let me down. Sooner or later.
Guaranteed.
Because we're not God.
We all got faith.
That's absolutely true.
Clay feet, walking in the rain.
Walking in the rain with
getting lower.
Mucking it around, just mucking.